look in the book of Matthew chapter number 13 and verse 49 and verse number 50. Matthew 13, verse 49 and verse number 50. We're going to take our reading in beginning in verse number 47. We want to speak on the subject of the terrors of hell. Have you been listening to the radio broadcast? I know a couple of you have. But if you haven't been, this will be for you. If you haven't been listening, this will be for you. Hell is a terrible, terrible place. I don't know how bad hell really is. I know that God is not there. Jesus Christ says these very words. Jesus is saying this. It's not that Paul is saying it. It's not that somebody else is saying it. But here tonight, in Matthew 13 and verse number 47, here is what Jesus Christ Himself says about this, about hell. You might fool yourself. You might say, it don't apply to me at all. Listen, if you're lost, this applies to you. I mean, one of these days, when you die, you will go into the devil's hell. That's it. And I don't want you to go there. I really don't. But you need to understand that life does come to an end, and that there's only two places anybody can go. There's only two places. This is not four. This is two on each hand. Two places. One's heaven, the other's hell. That's it. No such thing as purgatory. Nobody goes to purgatory. Nobody. There's no such place. There's only heaven and there's hell. In verse 47, Matthew 13, Jesus said this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net, which was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down, and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." I've never been that kind of fisherman that fish with a net. Now, Brother Fayard has. He knows about that. I don't. But the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is likened to this net which is cast into the sea. And I've seen pictures of people doing this. I was down at the coast one time and walked along the beach there, and there was a guy that was throwing a net out. And he'd throw that net out. I could never understand this. How he could throw that net. It was all together in his hand. And yet when it scattered out, it scattered out good. I couldn't understand. I don't know how in the world he did that. I have no idea. But he had practice on it. And he threw that net out. And there it went. Landed out there. And then he drew it in. And he got some fish. I watched the guy one night. Watched him for a long time. And that's what he did every time. And when it was full, they drew to shore, the Bible said in verse 48. And he sat down, and the Bible said he gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. This is what's going to happen. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible said that the angels shall come forth, not men. It's not men's prerogative to do that. We don't know who's saved and who's lost. We can tell anything about it. But God knows. And the angels know. They're at the direction of God. They follow. They do what He tells them to do. The Bible said that they sever the wicked from among the just. And he cast all the wicked then into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then look at verse 51. Jesus said unto them, "Have you understood all these things?" They say to him, "Yeah, Lord, we understand what you're saying. We understand that." Oh, I want you to understand tonight that the doctrine of hell is not a very pleasant subject at all. Actually, it's one of the most neglected doctrines in all the Bible. The doctrine of hell. We believe in hell. We also believe in heaven. But I'd a lot rather talk about heaven than had about hell. I'd a lot rather do that. But a lot of times today, when hell is mentioned, it's mentioned as if the whole idea of hell were so old-fashioned that only ignorant men or ignorant women would even believe it at all. Well, that's because natural men actually hate the idea of being held accountable to God. That's the truth. But you know, every day, all the things that we do, the things that we think even, will be brought before us at the judgment. God is the judge of the lost, and God is also the judge of the saved. But natural man, the man that's lost, he doesn't want to be held accountable for their lives at all. They want to do what they want to do, and that's it. They love sin. And they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They don't think they're accountable to anybody at all. But they are accountable unto people. The carnal mind throws up objection after objection to the thought that there is a hell. They laugh at hell. They mock people that believe in hell. They use the word hell as a curse word. All the time. Men can do what they want to do. But you know what? The truth is this. There is a hell that people are going to. There is a hell. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's the truth. It is very important for us to always know that God wants the best for us. God does not hinder any good thing from coming to any person unless that person just doesn't want it. But there's a warning that's given. In the book of Ezekiel 33. Here is a warning that God gives about hell. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, and this is concerning hell. Hell is real. Some of the Israelites went to hell. I believe that some of the Israelites died and went to hell. I believe that. Just because they were born an Israelite didn't mean that they were in heaven when they died. Don't mean that at all. Just because a person is a Baptist don't mean that they're going to be in heaven. It don't mean that at all. You got to be saved to go to heaven. That's it. Salvation is something that I cannot give you, but God can. Christ came and He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed His own blood on the cross of Calvary for us. He died that we might have life. That's the truth. Understand that that's so. There is a hell that's real. There's also a heaven that's real. Where are you going? You might say, I won't go there for a long time. Listen, you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know. I don't know when I'm going to die either. But the point is that since I don't know, I need to be ready to be with the Lord. Not go to hell. Right? Look at the book of Ezekiel 33. Here is an Old Testament passage that talks about the terrors of hell and how people ought to be warned about hell. Verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for a watchman. Right? Now that's what they did in those days. They had a watchman that they set, their own. Their own people would set as a watchman and watch for the enemy that was to come. In verse number 3, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. That's what the Bible says here in this place. So, I trust that you will listen to the words of this message. I pray that you won't let it slip away, because your eternity may be at stake, where you are going to spend ceaseless ages of suffering in hell. You could be going to that very place. You need to understand that that is so. You might say, the majority of us are saved. Why should we be concerned about hell? Because others don't know. That's simple truth. Because others just don't know. And if you really don't have the understanding that hell is real, that people are going there, you won't be so concerned about them at all. You'll be concerned about your own status, about your setting. You won't be concerned about anybody else at all. We need to be. Know that people are going to hell when they die. They're really going there. And the flames will engulf their bodies from then on. From then on. You say, well, I don't think a lost person in hell has a body. Well, the Bible said they're going to be resurrected from the dead. They have an indestructible body, and they'll go into hell with that, and they're going to burn forever and ever and ever. They'll never get out of that. Never, ever will they get out of it. But I think we ought to be concerned about hell. At least we ought to be concerned about people that are going to hell. There's people, there's good people all over. There's church members all over that are going to go to hell. When they die, we need to understand that. I think sometimes that we need our consciences shocked. Have you ever got shocked with electricity? Boy, that'll get your attention. It won't take long at all. I mean, it get hold of you and you can't turn loose. You ever had that? I got a hold of electric before and you can't turn. I tell you what makes me do. It makes me respect electricity really well. We go into the flames of hell and think about some of our loved ones going there, some people that we want to go to heaven. If they're not saved, they will go to hell. I mean, that's it. It might bring tears to your eyes, and it ought to. It ought to shame you. It ought to. Hearing about hell, though, it also helps men not to commit so many sins. That's my opinion. If we would always remember that we are going to have to stand before God and give an account to Him for everything we've ever done, it would stop a lot of wickedness. That very fact would stop a lot of wickedness. But a lot of people don't believe in all that. You know, I can't help what they believe. I really can't help what they believe. The truth is that there is a hell, that there is a heaven, and that people die and they go into that horrible, horrible, unspeakably horrible place. It may be somebody in our group, in our church, that thinks they're saved that is not. If you just think you're saved and you die, you'll go to hell. I wish I could change that, but I can't. I can't make it any different than what it is. But I pray today that you might be shocked out of your complacentness, that you might come to the place of realizing that hell is real for you as well. I'm not saying that every person that goes to hell is a bad person. Am I saying that? I don't mean to say that. I think there's a lot of good people that wind up in hell. A lot of people that go to church. I really believe that there's a lot of preachers that go to hell. They're not saved. They might think they're saved, but that don't mean they are saved. Your works will not cause you to be saved. Salvation is by the grace and help of Almighty God. That's the way a person is saved. It's when you get to the place that you can't do anything at all, that you see yourself as a wretched, hell-bound, and you deserve to go, and you're a sinner, and Jesus Christ wipes away your sins, and He covers your sins in His own blood, not your own righteousness. That's not the way it works at all. But I think it's profitable to preach about hell. I know it's a terrible subject. It's an awful subject. I preached about it on the radio 4 Sundays in a row. I hated every one of them, because I don't want to preach a discouraging message, but I got to preach the truth, right? You got to preach the truth. But think about these words that Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 13, in verse 47 down through verse number 51. And finally, He asked them, when He spoke about hell, in verse 51, He says, Matthew 13, 51, "Have you understood all these things?" Do you understand what I'm talking about? Jesus Christ asked them, "Do you understand what I'm talking about?" I wish I had a way to find out how He said that. I think that Christ said that with a real questioning look on His face. He wanted them to understand what He was talking about. They could be religious, but they could be also lost. The Pharisees were religious. They had more religion than you could shake a stick at. But they were lost like a goose. They were lost. And today, the same exact thing. I mean, when you think about in the days of Christ, there were Pharisees, there were religious people that were lost, that had their religion and didn't like Christ changing any of that. They said, "Leave us alone." And He wouldn't leave them alone. And finally, they killed Him for it. They covered up everything they could cover up. But finally, the day come when they would breathe their last breath, their heart would beat the last time, and they would die, and then where would they go? They go into the very place that Christ talked about right there. Why aren't people afraid? Why aren't people afraid of hell? It's because it makes such a light of it. When they there's a lot of different extremes. But some people don't believe in hell because they've heard it laughed at, mocked at, made fun of for so long that they think it's just another byword. That's what they think it is. It's just another byword. But hell is a real place. It's a place where people go when they die. It's a place of indescribable horror. It's a place of no comfort, no air conditioning. I was thinking driving down here of how nice it is to have air conditioning in our house. It's real nice. Our temperature on our car, it said it was 94 degrees outside. I don't know what the temperature was in the van. I have no idea, but I said it on 69. And the fan run, but it felt good. I tell you what, in hell, there's no air conditioning. There's no thermostats down there to control it either. I mean, it's all terrible, terrible time. Most people are not afraid of hell because they really don't believe it's real. I tell you what, today it's real. The story of the rich man and Lazarus is a story that ought to burn within our souls. Because the rich man went to hell. And you know where he is right now? He's still in hell. How long has he been there? Jesus Christ preached about that 2,000 years ago. And that rich man is still in hell and he's still burning and he's not burned up yet. And he never will be. Because hell is real. We can say that it's not. But it's real. I know how to really make you afraid, though. I didn't think about the right now. I wish I had thought about it at home. I would have got a big picture of a big old lion and brought it up and set it right here so you'd be really afraid of lions. Would that make you afraid? Listen, can a picture hurt you? If there was a picture of a lion or a bear, a ferocious bear with big growling teeth, would that make you afraid? I had a big picture of it. I don't think so. Nobody's running away. But you know, hell is more than just a picture. It's much more than just a picture. The people that go to hell are in hell and they can't get out. It is impossible for them to get out or to have any kind of relief at all. They are there in hell and they're burning. Even as we speak, even as I preach this message, there's people right now in hell that are being burned up, and they'll be burned up forever. Men, today, don't like to think about hell. I don't like to preach about hell. I think there's a lot more pleasant subjects to preach about than hell. There's a whole bunch more of them. Hell is a real thing. Somebody would say, well, to preach about an eternal hell, preach about people that are in hell right now, and to preach about the people would burn forever and ever and never get burned up, that's against the mercy of God, right? People would say, how in the world would a real good God possibly punish people forever and ever and ever. How could he ever do that? It's because people really don't understand who God really is. That's the reason. They really don't understand who God is. Compare sin with the perfection of God. That's what I want you to do right now. Just compare sin with the perfection of God. I know today that we classify sins as big sins and little sins, right? There's big sins and little sins. There are sins that some people say a person sins, that's just a little sin. But I tell you what, that little sin, if you're not careful, that little sin will turn into a great big one. The blackness of sin that's within every person ought to be recognized that it is really real. The holiness of God is also very real. God has not changed. He is as good as He has ever been. He's not one whit better. He's not a bit better than what He ever was. Because you can't get better than perfect. And He's perfect. But sin is the opposite of that. Whether we classify a sin as a big sin or a little sin, it makes no difference. But there is a sin that brings forth death. And that sin is what we're born with. Every person is born with this. And it brings death. We need our sins forgiven. We need our sins forgiven. Only Christ can forgive those sins. Christ is so pure that He cannot look upon sin. He can't. Look in the book of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. And see what the Bible says here about the fact that God cannot look upon sin or iniquity or any disobedience at all. God, what He really wants from us that are saved, He wants absolute, total obedience. That's what He really wants from us. That's why we face chastening sometimes. Because we're not obedient to God. And God chases us to make us be in line. That's why our parents dealt with us. And they chastened us. That we might be more in line and still keep us out of trouble. In Habakkuk 1 and verse number 12, he says, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Therefore lookest upon them that dealt treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he." This is just comparing God with evil man. God is absolutely pure and holy and right. If we could just comprehend for an instant how holy that God is, that He never sins, that He doesn't want to look at sin at all. The only reason that Christ took our sins upon Him was because that God so loved the world. That's it. It's God's love for us that caused Christ to be obedient to His Father and to willingly take upon Himself our sins. That's it. If we could ever get a glimpse of how holy God is, how good God is, how righteous God is, and how sinless God is, then we would understand that all sin before God leads to death. All sin. All sin. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Look what the Bible says again there. I quoted the verse, but look in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. As the Bible makes this point very clear. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, you can't even know your own heart. Your own heart is so desperately wicked, you can't even know it. You can't even get a glimpse of it. That's why Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross of Calvary. It was for the wickedness of men's sins. I mean, that's why He came. Look in verse number 5 of Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Don't trust in anything you've ever done. You trust only in the Lord. You cannot trust in a time that you have been redeemed. You're trusting in the Lord only. I was saved when I was 12 years old, but I'm not trusting when I was 12 years old at all. I just happened to know that was the time. And by the way, for a long time, I thought I was 10 years old. I did. I thought I was 10 years old. And then I preached it at Forest Hills Baptist Church, and the guy kept the minutes. He heard that, and he thought, that's not right. I'll tell you what he did. He went back through the minutes and found out when I was saved. They had it wrote down in the minutes when I was saved. I was 12 years old, not 10. So I could be wrong. But I tell you what, I'm not trusting what I remember. I'm trusting in Christ who remembers all things. That's it. The Bible said, if you trust in your man, in yourself, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your memory. Don't trust that. People's memories change. Really? They do. People's memories change. But God doesn't. That's why He's going to hold us accountable for everything. Sometimes, when we look back on our lives, we might say, I did this, I did that. God will tell you what you did and what you didn't do. Because He knows exactly what you did and when you did it and all about it. We don't. You can't rely upon your memory at all. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart depart from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see good, not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. See, in verse number 7, he talks about, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. It's not, I'm not saying here that our past confession of faith has been wrong. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is if you're trusting in that, you're wrong. You're trusting in the Lord. And He knows all things. I mean, that's what it boils down to. In verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Where is our hope? Are we bragging about what we did? Or are we bragging about what the Lord did in us? That's it. See the difference there in verse number 8. For he shall be like as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out our roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Bible then goes on, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? What's the Bible saying there? Don't trust your heart. I know. That's the opposite of what people preach today. That's the opposite. Trust your heart, they say. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you trust your heart, you'll be in sad shape when the judgment comes. You'll be in sad shape because you're trusting the wrong one. You need to trust the Lord. Recognize that you're a sinner and trust the Lord. To really understand what our sin looks like, we look at it not through our eyes, but through God's eyes. To really understand what our sin looks like, we need to look at it through God's eyes, not our eyes. That's it. Every time we sin against God, who is holy, righteous, and will call to us to give an account for all of that. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, that's what's going to happen. In every act, we must ask this question: whose will is being done? And that gets you down to the real kernel here. Whose will is being done? Is it my will or is it God's will? Am I doing what God tells me to do, or am I doing what I want to do? Very frankly, I don't want to preach about hell. I really don't. I'd rather preach about good things happening to everybody good. But you know what? The truth is that I need to preach what God wants me to, whether you like it or not. I got to preach what God wants me to, whether I like it or not. Because that's the reality of it all. We're all accountable to God, every one of us. In that day, I think there's going to be a great leveling. In this day, pastors and preachers are put up on a pedestal. I think that's wrong. Because it's a long way to fall when you fall. We're just level with the people. But in that day, all the ground around the cross is level and Christ is elevated. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that we worship, no one else. We'll read one more scripture. In the book of Romans 12. Romans 12. The Bible is full of this. You know, and until I really began an in-depth study of hell, I did not realize that Christ spoke of hell many, many times. And the scriptures I read tonight, it began with what Christ said in Matthew 13. And it continues. We'll reach more of that in a future message, as Lord willing. Look what the Bible said here in Romans 12 and verse number 19. In this place, Paul is telling the people how they ought to live. They ought to live right and not wrong at all. And he said in verse number 14, "Bless them that which persecute you, bless and curse not." Well, that's kind of a tough thing to do today, but it always has been hard. Bless them that persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Well, that's a tough, isn't it? Be not wise in your own conceits. I'm smarter than anybody here, right? Except you. That's the way we look at it. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide for things honest in the sight of all men. That little word, all. Every man. Anybody that looks at it will be able to say, this is the right thing. Reminds me of Samuel when he was, they didn't like his ruling in that. And he gave a speech to them and said, which of you have I done wrong? No, nobody. Nobody could say it hadn't done anybody wrong. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Rather give place unto the wrath. Boy, this is a great passage about godly living. Don't be avenging yourself. But give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You believe that? I believe it because it's in the Bible, right? We have to believe it, right? It's in the Bible. Be careful about striking out somebody. Be careful about that. You ever just want to get a hold of somebody and just put their head through a ringer? Yeah, be careful about that. Well, I have to. I don't. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. In verse 20, therefore, you see, when we really love what we ought to love, that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 12. That's what he's talking about. He said, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The glory of God is the greatest good anybody can ever do. Giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise is the best anybody can ever do. God will take care of us when we're wronged. God will also take care of those that wrong us. You believe that? I tell you, do we put it in practice? When you put it in practice, God will take care of us when we're wronged, but God will also take care of the one that wronged us too. He's the great judge. He will do all that. We're going to stop right there, Lord willing, and we'll take up this subject next time, Lord willing. We'll see how that works out. But I want to do what God wants me to do in preaching all these things. And some of these are really hard. They're really hard to describe. Because I don't like to preach about hell, but it's a real place. And people are going there. And you may be one that's going there. You say, oh, I won't go there because I go to church. Listen, it don't make a difference if you go to church or not. If you're lost, you're going to hell. I don't want to sound mean, but I want to sound right. If you're lost, you're going to go to hell. You need to admit before God that you're lost. And you need to trust Christ. Because only He can forgive you for sin. Nobody else can. Only God can do that. We pray that God would bless you and help you. That His will be done in your heart. Okay, to stand if you would. Brother, if you come and listen to this song, we pray that the Lord would help tonight. that we might be able to preach what God wants us to preach, okay?